Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We have another wonderful show for you in store for you today. Hopefully, my guests will show up. Did you catch my show last week with Anya? It was a rather fascinating show. I hope you get a chance to catch it. Of course, if you did miss it, you can always see the replay on talkradio.nyc and on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@talkradionyc. All righty, let's get started. So, this week's blog post from a couple of years ago, I think I wrote this either just before or just after my trip to Peru, which was a very profound experience. So, this blog post is entitled, "To Travel is to Change Our Inner World." There is more to traveling than making arrangements. Yet we often just focus on the logistics. We keep our eyes on the mundane tasks and can miss out on the greatest opportunity. For travel is more than just about visiting another country, more than taking in the sights of an exotic location. It is about so much more than having a break from work. While all these aspects are a part of the experience, there is something so significant that goes along with it. When we pay attention to what happens to us in the whole process, there are a great many rewards. The adventure of opening ourselves up to new experiences is profound indeed. We can discover things about ourselves that we never knew. Learn more about who we are and what we are capable of in the journey. For the greatest thing that happens when we leave to go someplace new is what happens inside of us. The transformation that occurs, and all that we see, do, and learn causes us to grow and become more of who we are. From deep inside, we begin to touch ever so lightly something new within us. When we return, we are no longer the same. We are a new person with new perspectives and new stories. These stories can ignite the imagination of others. They can bring a new light to the world we once knew. So not only have we changed from going away, but everyone else whose lives we touch when we return can change as well. None of us live in a vacuum. Every time we do something that changes us, we are changing those who surround us as well. And so by traveling the world, we change the world we live in. It's quite interesting. After the pandemic, when things started to open up, and my wife and I pretty much were doing everything virtually. I mean, now my wife sees some clients in person. Now I do some work with people in person. So we're not as 100% virtual as we used to be. But back when we were, we felt the need to get out of the city, get out of New York, just to be someplace else. Not just going on a vacation, but just we would house sit and pet sit for people. We went to, I don't know, it was Vermont, California, Colorado, Vancouver, Berkeley. all over the place. And we wouldn't just be like visiting like a tourist. We were actually living and working just in someone else's home. And so we really had an opportunity to feel what it's like to live in another place. And it opened us up to different perspectives and different experiences. And we talk about it. And when we and also it opened us up just to how we feel about being home and being away from home. And so it started to get me to reflect more and more about how, when we go away from home, when we travel, how it affects us. Because oftentimes we get so caught up in the, oh, I just need a break. I just need to get away from home. I need a break from work. I need a change. And then we go someplace and, who knows? Maybe we just sit by the beach, which is fine. And we don't really engage with the local environment. But even when we do that, still, it's a different experience. We went down to the Caribbean several times. We've been to St. Croix. Most recently, we went to Barbados last year. And going down to those places, first of all, it's a different standard of living. There are different things available. And you see different people, and oftentimes people from all over the world. And so going away and traveling, and it doesn't matter if it's just traveling to the next state or traveling to another country, it's about having a different experience. It's about meeting different people. It's about being in a different environment. It's about removing ourselves from what's known and comfortable and familiar and taking ourselves out of that to experience something new and different. And it's the one thing that scientists say actually help to keep a healthy brain is by going out and experiencing different things. Taking a different route on the way to work. Experiencing a different environment. Because every time we experience a different environment, we learn something new. There are different houses around, different trees, different restaurants, different stores. It's just different. And so 2 years ago when I wrote this, I don't remember if it was right before or right after, but I went down to Peru for the first time. And I went down to the Sacred Valley. I stayed in Cusco, and then we were down in the Sacred Valley and then back in Cusco for a couple of days before coming back. It was a total of about 9 days. And we did, ceremonial work. I sat with the tribes and did four ceremonies when I was down there. And while the ceremonies were an important part of it, equally important was feeling the energy of the land, was meeting the people, was seeing how they eat different things than what we eat up here in the United States, like roasted hamster, which I did not try, because I'm not a meat eater. Being at a different elevation, much higher up. And going to the market in Cusco was a wonderful experience. And, I like to walk through the town. So even though it was about a 45-minute walk from the hotel, I walked there and walked back. And just all those experiences and meeting different people and just seeing what the streets were like and the and different cars going by and going to some ruins and some archaeological sites and hiking, up the side of a mountain to a waterfall. I mean, it was all so enriching because it was like being on another planet. It was being away from all that I knew to experience something that helped me to truly appreciate all that this world has to offer. And when I came back, I was definitely a different person. Not only because of the healing work that I did when I was down there, but because of what I felt being there, of what it felt like to be in the Sacred Valley, to go up to Machu Picchu, to go to these places that are ancient and archaeologists have no idea how they were built. To go to this ruin that was probably, I think the guide said it was like 15,000 years old. And there was this stone that was carved out in the shape of a condor where, a man and a woman could sit. It was a wedding stone or something. And there was this crevice that was like a womb, a cave that you walk into, and you walk in and you look up and you see the head of a jaguar. And there were just so many experiences. And not just that, but connecting to the other people who came to the United States down there. People who I don't spend time with on a day-to-day basis, when these bonds were formed. I mean, there were a couple of people on the trip who I knew already. There were a few friends on there. But those that I didn't know, we formed such a tight bond from the experience, because we all experienced this just amazing world, this amazing place. And it truly, I think it changed all of us. And when I was reflecting, and it was funny because we came back, and my wife, and it was like right before Thanksgiving, and my wife had arranged for us to go literally the day after I got back to go to Chicago to house sit. And I just remember being there, and I was like, oh, I just want to go home. But I remember when we were there, just reflecting on the travel and how much traveling, not just to Peru, but to all the different places we had been in recent years. How much it changes who we are as a person. How much appreciation it gives us for other people in the world. How much we get to realize that everyone in this world, everyone, is a human being, and we all want the same things. We just want to have, a good place to live, clothes on our back, enough food in our bellies, community, and being happy with the people we're with. People are not so different. This world is made up. There's more similarity between the people of the world than there is difference. So it really taught me that every time we go away, every time we make a trip, no matter how big or how small, we're entering into a new version of ourselves. We're entering into new experiences that change us. And when we come home, we're never quite the same. And look, I've had trips that were not so enjoyable because of different things. And I've talked about them on previous episodes, like a trip to Montserrat. I mean, beautiful place, but oh God, that was too much of an adventure. But that's part of it. It's not always going to go the way we expect. It's not always going to be the most comfortable, most enjoyable. And still, that doesn't mean it wasn't worth the experience. So that's my blog post. My blog post is entitled "To Travel is to Change Our Inner World." And of course, you can always find my blog post at theconsciousconsultant.com. And of course, on the radio station's website at talkradio.nyc/blog. And if you like my blog, don't forget, I do have a book. I do mention it once in a while. Everyday Awakening, which you can find on Amazon and all the major booksellers. And if they don't have it in stock, they can order it. So yeah, if you like these topics that I touch upon each week before my show, I think you'll really enjoy my book. Awesome. Well, a big shout out to Patty, loyal listener Patty. Haven't seen you in a while, commenting on the live streams. Please, Patty, keep the comments coming. Because we're still waiting for my guest to show up. So this might be an impromptu episode of the Conscious Consultant Hour. So please stay with us. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, whether my guest shows up or not. And we will be right back to continue this discussion.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Still waiting for my guest to show up, which means she probably won't make it. So it's just going to be me and you for this show, an impromptu solo show. So please feel free to comment, ask your questions on the live streams. We'll touch upon whatever you're interested in talking about. So today's topic was supposed to be about connecting to our angels. And you know, I've had a lot of guests come on who talk about connecting to angels, connecting to the spirits, connecting to something greater. And I just thought I would talk about it from a different perspective. And it's a perspective that I gained from my dear friend, Jennifer Huff. And Jennifer Huff is a wonderful spiritual teacher. Her website is thewideawakening.com. Highly recommend you check her out. But Jennifer, when we would talk about guides and angels and things like that, she would always refer to them as her higher levels. And I always thought that was quite interesting. And when I asked her about it, she talked about how it's a recognition of the oneness of everything. And that instead of looking at these mystical beings as something apart and separate from us, she liked to frame it as a higher aspect of ourselves. And this really spoke to me, even though I'll still refer to them as guides or angels or something else. But I always, when I'm in conversation with someone, I always like to bring up the point that, oh, but we're that. Like, that's us, just in a different form, a different aspect of ourselves, a different physical state, because most of the time they're non-physical. And it really kind of came to me how much we tend to separate things, at least in Western society. Other different societies see things more interconnected and see things more part of a whole. But in Western society, we kind of suffer from this Newtonian illusion that everything is discrete and separate from everything else. That this microphone is separate from my chair, is separate from my keyboard, my computer, my monitors, and the window, and my apartment, and the books on the shelf, and that this is all something separate. Yet when you go deep into the more esoteric and mystical teachings, pretty much almost any tradition, they all talk about the interrelatedness, the interconnectedness, the oneness of this universe. It's only in this sort of Judeo-Christian Islamic view of the world that we're separate from a creator. But in other views, we are the creator. The creator is us. And maybe we're not the creator in totality, but we're a piece of the creator. All of us added up together are the creator. And so when we talk about guides, angels, ascended masters, and spiritual beings in general, when we look at them as our higher levels or another aspect of ourselves, the Rastafarians have a phrase, I and I, meaning when they see someone else or talk to someone else, it's them and them. It's that recognition of this oneness. And indeed, if you look at the latest findings in quantum mechanics and astrophysics and what the scientists who both are studying the microscopic, the tiniest particles within the universe, and those that study cosmology, the biggest things in the universe, they're all kind of coming to the same conclusion. That there is no separation between us and everything around us. That indeed there's this interrelationship between us and our angels and our demons. And in this world, I know how hard it is to feel like everyone else in the world is another aspect of us. Because our conscious egoic mind is like, what? I would never be like that person. Oh, I would never do that. Oh, look, they believe in this. I would never believe in that. And we find all these things that we say, oh, I could never be like that person. But we are that person. Not in the three-dimensional, mundane physical experience of the world that we're having, but in the underlying energetic nature of this universe, there is no difference between us and the furthest star in the sky. Indeed, like everything on this planet ultimately comes from stardust. It comes from the remains of some exploded star or some star that didn't get enough gravitational force together to create the fusion and become an actual star. The particles in our body, the atoms, the molecules, the quantum particles that make up the atoms and the electrons and the neutrons and everything else, those all came from some distant star whose leftover material got caught in the gravitational pull of our sun and eventually consolidated down to be this planet and eventually formed life on this planet billions of years ago. And yeah, are there comets and asteroids and meteorites who hit this planet and brought material from other places? Absolutely. But where did that come from? And where did that come from? And where did that come from? And if you keep tracing things back, it's all interrelated on the most fundamental aspect of the universe, of life itself. We're all interconnected and interrelated. And so when I bring different guests onto my show, and I got some really interesting ones coming up in the next few months, and they talk about their experiences with guides, angels, spirits, those guides, angels, and spirits are not something separate from them. It's not something separate from us. They are all just different aspects of who and what we truly are. And it's only our minds, the stories we tell, and the stories we make up from the experiences we've had throughout our lives that tell us that we're separate from that, that we're different from that, that that's not us. Our angels are not the separate beings from us with wings that float around in the sky. They are our higher levels. They are other aspects of us. And maybe we feel we can't communicate with them. Maybe we feel we can't see them. We can't hear them. But they can hear us. And this is why I believe there is always a place in our lives for both prayer and meditation. Because prayer is talking to our angels, to our higher aspects, to ourselves in some form. And meditation is listening. So, maybe a slightly different perspective than one you're used to, maybe not. It's a very non-dual, as it's called, point of view. And although we live in what seems like a very dualistic world, that does not mean that where this world comes from is dualistic. So, what are our angels? They are ourselves. So think about that for a minute. while I scramble your brain, and we'll go to break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Please feel free to comment on the live streams, whatever connection you have to your own angels, to yourself, what experiences you've had with angels or with unexplainable phenomena. And I'll tell you about one that I had. So, everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. It's just me and you today. So please comment, ask your questions. We'll get to it all when we come back after this.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and a space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversation guides you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. It's just me and you today, so keep the questions coming, the comments coming. Thank you, Patty, for checking in. And so we're talking about angels today. What are angels? And I like to think of, and in my hallucination of this universe, our angels are ourselves. Yet so often we feel like if we're not experiencing the magic of something beyond ourselves, if we're not getting some kind of communication or miracles happening around us, that we're not in touch with our angels. And I know it's very tempting to feel disconnected to those higher aspects, those other aspects of ourselves that we call angels, but they are actually always here with us. We may not hear them, we may not see them most of the time, but even if we hear or see them once, we know that they're there. And I tell the story a lot to people because I just for me, it's such a defining moment in some ways. You know, when I talk about how I got into medicine work with my wife and how the weekend that I went, and I didn't even really know what I was going to, I got invited the night before. It just, everything, the way everything lined up, it was just miraculous, I'll say. So it's a Friday afternoon, and my wife's away at a psychology conference in China. And I back then I used to go to workshops. I used to hold workshops and did all this stuff. I didn't have anything going on that weekend. And a good friend of mine texts me on a Friday afternoon about some kind of open house. And he sends this long paragraph that's so obtuse. I have no idea what he's talking about. But I look at the address and it's literally 7 blocks from where I live. So I'm like, I don't have anything else to do. May as well go check it out. And if this is some kind of spiritual group, you know, I probably know some people there. So I go and there are a bunch of people there, nobody there that I know. And I'm waiting for my friend to show up and finally shows up. And I'm like, hey, Alex, what gives? You know, cool people, met the guy whose apartment it was. And I guess he was the kind of guy in charge and he seems cool. And he's like, oh, well, you heard of ayahuasca? And I was like, yeah, it's okay. People have been telling me about it for the last 3-4 years. Puking all night long in a bucket is not my idea of a spiritual experience. He's like, no, what we do is different. It's much gentler. I think you'll really like it. Hey, why don't you come tomorrow? We're having a ceremony in Brooklyn. I'm like, thanks, but no thanks. And then I walk out of the apartment. And the reason why I said thanks, but no thanks, was that from the different spiritual teachers I had worked with in different groups, they were all kind of negative against the idea of using substance. And so even though I had experience in high school, I mean, like most people my age, you know, I did lots of things in high school. I had lots of experiences. But as an adult, I kind of like, I kind of shied away from it. I really wasn't looking for this. You know, it wasn't that like I felt I had some deep trauma or problem that I needed, that I was looking for some solution. I was literally just looking for my next spiritual path because I had left the last spiritual group I had been with about 9 months before. But I'm walking the 7 blocks back to my apartment and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is like the only weekend in the entire year that I have space to say yes. Like, I don't have anything to do. I'm not getting together with any friends. I don't have a workshop. My wife's away. I actually have space to say yes. And I'm like, you know, I can try it once. Once isn't going to kill me. It's not going to damage my soul for all eternity. And if I don't like it, I never have to see any of these people again because I didn't know anyone there except for my friend Alex. So I call him up the next morning and literally, I didn't even know what I was coming to. I'm like, okay, Alex, I'm in. Pick me up. Take me there. I'll go with you. Let me know. And so he takes me to this house out in Brooklyn. And throughout the night, I have a really powerful experience. And powerful, not that anything new came up that I wasn't aware of. I mean, like all the situations and difficulties and pain and everything, it was all stuff I knew about, I talked about, I processed, I did energy work around, like all this stuff. But somehow it felt like I was still holding on to the energy of the situations. And by the end of the night, it was like 1,000-pound weight came off my shoulder that I never even knew was there. And I felt so much lighter. And, you know, so I go home the next day and my wife comes back Sunday night and she immediately starts responding to me differently because she can feel I'm different. And I hadn't had a chance to tell her anything about the weekend. So then during the week, she's asking me questions. I tell her about the ceremony and this and that. And she keeps asking questions. And I say to her, you know, hey, they're doing a ceremony next month in Brooklyn. Why don't you come with me again? I think you'll really like it. She's like, no. You know, I'm Chinese. Chinese, we don't do drugs. I'm like, it's not drugs, it's medicine. But she's still no. Literally up until about 2 weeks before the ceremony. And finally, I kind of start to lose my patience with her. And I go, look, I can't answer any more of your questions. It's an experience. You just have to come and try it yourself. And she's like, okay, well, ask the facilitator if he'll give us a break on the price if we come as a couple. I'm like, okay. I call the guy up the next day. I say, hey, can we get a little bit of break? He's like, yeah, sure. My wife comes home that night. And I tell her, oh, honey, I talked to the guy. He said, no problem. He'll give us a break on the price. No expression, no emotion, but I could feel it underneath. She was like, damn, because I just took her last excuse away. And then the 2 weeks leading up to the ceremony, I'm getting to the point. I know you're like, what does this all have to do with connecting to our angels? I'm getting there, I promise. Resistance, resistance, resistance. Oh, I got so much work to do. Oh, you know, I don't know. I can stay overnight. Please. Oh, and literally I was like, hey, honey, I already told him that we're coming. You know, I made the commitment. She's like, oh, I'm not saying I'm not going. I'm just letting you know. Literally up until the day of the ceremony. That morning, you know, take a shower, getting ready. And she's like, you know, I don't sleep well in other people's houses. If we stay overnight, I'm not going to get any sleep. And I got this thing I got to do tomorrow. We've got to come back in the middle of the night so I can get some sleep. And I'm about to get really upset at her and lose my patience because I know the experience. I know what it was like. I just experienced it the month before. I know there's no way we're coming back in the middle of the night. And before I could say anything, before a word could get out of my mouth, I heard that voice. I heard my angel's voice in the back of my head. Just say yes. Huh? Just say yes. Just get her there and we'll take care of the rest. Like, oh, okay. I didn't even think about it. I just like, honey, whatever you want. You want to come back in the middle of the night? We'll come back in the middle of the night, whatever you need. She calms down and we go. And that experience really had such a deep, profound impact on me because I know that voice was not me. It totally interrupted my pattern. I could feel it came from somewhere outside of myself. And I've not heard that voice as clearly before or since. But I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, that was my angel. That was my higher level. That was these energies that were just get her there. And my wife comes, she has a huge experience, and she's crying over the, you know, she never really grieved the passing of her mom, which is why she went. And she's just bawling all night long. And she calls me over in the middle of the night. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Are you okay? And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so pigheaded. Of course, we're not going home in the middle of the night. I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, that's okay, honey. I know we're not going home. And, you know, my wife is a real sport. She's very open. She's come to all kinds of things in the past with me. But she's always been very skeptical, very judgmental. She never really saw the value in all these energy healing and spiritual groups. You know, she would go because I was interested, but she didn't really care for them. But this, the next day she said, oh my God, it was like getting 10 years of therapy in one night. And I knew with her, the amount of skepticism and judgmentalness that she had, if she thought there was something good in this, I knew this was something good. I didn't need anybody else telling me this was good. She saw the value of it. But if I had not listened to that voice in my head, and the funny thing is, when it spoke, it's like I didn't even think about where did that come from? Should I listen? Should I not listen? It was just I heard it, and it's like, oh, of course. And I just followed it. There was no second guessing. There was no doubt. It was such a profound experience. And even with all the experiences that I've had since then, nothing compares to that moment, that split second. And that's all it was a split second. When I heard that voice. And if my higher levels, if my angels are listening to this show, I would love to hear your voice again. It's been over 11 years. I'd really love to hear your voice again. So, time for us to take our last break. When we come back, let's just talk a little bit about how do we connect to our angels? How do we connect to our higher levels? What does it look like, and how does it show up differently for different people? So we'll get to that in just a moment. Please stay tuned. You are listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, and we'll be right back after this.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Well, before we finish off the show, I just want to say that, you know, this was an impromptu show because my guest didn't make it. Not sure what happened, but we'll find out in a bit. But I really do appreciate people sticking with me and staying on through the show. You know, I do these me-only shows about once a month, once every other month. And usually I'm prepared for them. Usually I know what I'm going to talk about ahead of time. I have a topic. I have a structure. I know what I'm going to go through. And this time, you know, sometimes when they don't show up, you just got to do it off the cuff. So, how do we cultivate a relationship with our higher levels, with our angels? The most important thing, and the thing that I personally do not do enough of, I do it, but just not enough of it. As I mentioned before, prayer is talking to our angels or God, whatever you want to use, the universe. Meditation is listening. Just sitting down, being still, focusing on your breath, just breathing in and out. That's all we need. That's all we need. But we need to do it consistently. We need to do it for a period of time. It's not going to happen the first time we sit. It's not going to happen the first time, or the first week even. But the more we just sit still without any input, without our phones, without the TV, without the computer, just sit and be. Like, that is the surest way to cultivate a relationship with our higher levels, with our angels. Because we need to listen to them. And sometimes that voice is very, very, very subtle. And for some of us, it doesn't come through as a voice. It's not audio. For some of us, it's a feeling. It's a feeling we get in our body. For others, we see things. For others, we just know things. Thoughts just drop in, knowledge just drops in, and we don't know where it's from. That tends to be what happens with me. And each one of those abilities are what they call different clairs. You know, clairvoyant is being able to see and speak with spirit. Clairaudient is being able to hear. Clairsentient is feeling. Claircognizant is that knowing. You get the knowing from spirit. So everyone's different. It doesn't look the same. It's not 100% one way or another. And so we each have to find, how do our spirit, how do our angels, our higher levels communicate with us? So maybe we don't hear things, maybe we don't see things, maybe we don't feel things, maybe we just know things. My guest next week is going to talk about automatic writing and how her connection to spirit came through writing. What happens for you if you just sit down, blank piece of paper, pen in hand, and just start writing? What comes out for you? And I know many people say, oh, I can't meditate. I can't quiet my mind. My mind's running at 1,000 thoughts a minute. Meditation doesn't have to look like any one thing. Running can be a meditation. Walking can be a meditation. But even just sitting, if our mind is going and our mind is going, let it go. Don't try and control it. Just don't hold on to the thoughts. Just sit there and let the mind run at 1,000,000 miles a minute. And just sit with it as long as you can. And then whenever the time is up, the time is up. And then try and do it again and again and again. And I can almost guarantee you, if you keep at it long enough, your mind will start to become a little less active, a little more quiet, a little less loud, a little more quiet, a little more quiet, a little more quiet. And ultimately, we'll get to that place where we either feel, hear, see, or know things we didn't know before. And the more we focus on that all is one, that there is no separation between us and our angels, that our angels truly are ourselves. And the more we repeat that to ourselves, and the more we cultivate that feeling inside of us, the more our angels will let us know they're here with a little tap on the shoulder. And what that tap on the shoulder is could be different for everyone. There are as many different ways for spirit to communicate with us as there are people in this universe. Our angels are not some deity separate from us, demanding our obedience and demanding that we act a certain way. They're that greater aspect of ourselves, that energy of ourselves that still remembers what it means to be connected to all that is. And that I am presence that resides in each of us, deep in our core, it knows it too. So connecting to our angels, hearing our angels, seeing our angels. It's not about hearing, feeling, seeing something else, something separate from us. It's about seeing ourselves, our true beauty, our true magnificence, our inner nature. It's about knowing that we are that we are angels, and that we are all connected to everything in life, in this universe, even that which is not so pleasant, even that which is downright painful. It's all part of the experience of life. I know this may be a challenging way of viewing things for many people listening to this show. I ask that you don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Just adopt this framework for a little while and just try it for yourselves. Ah, I see loyal listener Patty says, yeah, she took classes from Mike Dooley, Notes from the Universe on angels, and she said it was so eye-opening. Thank you, Patty. I appreciate that. Well, that's my show for this week. Next week, I will have a wonderful guest coming talking about the spirit and energy of money, something a little different, much more grounded talk. So thank you all for tuning in. I truly appreciate each and every one of you. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and all over social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Twitch, as well as on all the podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Amazon. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Broncu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.